and welcome to Homeschool Power on Great Dreams Radio. I'm your host, Tracy Kelly, and you can find me over at Homeschooling is My Superpower over at www.homeschoolpower.com. I'm Tracy Kelly, and I'm a wife and six-year homeschooling mom of three. I have a 10-year-old who will be starting sixth grade next year, an 8-year-old second grader, and a 4-year-old. I love to share our journey and to help others who are interested in or just curious about homeschooling. If you've missed any of our other broadcasts, please check them out at my blog at www.homeschoolpower.com under podcasts. Speaking of my blog, I have some exciting news to share. We are now an affiliate of Amazon. I'm so excited about that. So while you're reading all my posts, don't forget to click on the Amazon link on my blog and do some shopping. Yeah, go ahead and buy yourself some workbooks and school supplies. Well, how was your day today? Today is Monday. And actually, now that our school year is coming to a close, I'm able to relax a little bit and just dedicate more time to blogging. And so my Monday's a little bit less stressful, which is a good thing. I'm looking so forward to summer break. How about you? I have a great show for you this evening. I'm going to be discussing homeschooling methods. Now, there are many different ways to homeschool, and because there is so much information, I'm going to divide this topic into a couple of shows. Tonight, we'll be covering a few of those methods. We'll be talking about the school-at-home approach. We'll also be discussing relaxed, eclectic homeschooling and the Montessori method. In our second segment on tonight's show, I will be giving you one of my most frequently asked questions. You ready for it? How do you respond to negative comments about homeschooling? I know that many of you are considering homeschooling, and this is usually a big concern for those who want to begin this journey. So I'm going to give you some advice concerning the naysayers. So we're going to set all those haters straight tonight, okay? Let's jump right on in and start tonight's show. Once you have decided that you want to homeschool, you have now done everything that is required for your state to be a legal homeschooler, so now we want to research what method we would like to use. Now, the method that you choose will depend on your vision for your home education or your homeschool, your kids' learning style, and actually, I want you to do some research on learning styles to see which style your child will fit into. It will also depend on your family dynamics or the way you want to run your household. If you like structure, you may choose one method. If you want to have a more relaxed school setting, you could use another method. If you don't want your homeschool to look anything like quote unquote school, then you could unschool. So what do you want your homeschool to look like? Well, first we're going to cover the school at home approach. This method is talked about a lot in the media, and it's usually what people envision when it comes to homeschooling. They normally think that you have a classroom set up in your house, your kids are sitting at tables or desks with tons of textbooks or workbooks, educational posters on the wall. It basically looks like a classroom. Now, I did this method at the beginning of our journey, and I guess I still use bits and pieces of this method, but this method can be one of the most expensive, and it has a larger burnout rate. Because you purchase more box curricula, supplies, and teaching aids, it can get a little costly. You also go through most of the same procedures and requirements that the brick and mortar schools do. Now, you're going to hear me say brick and mortar a lot, and I'm just saying, actually, it only means a traditional school building. So you'll hear a lot of homeschools refer to schools using this term. So brick and mortar only means a traditional school building. So this method is great because you know exactly what to teach. You have your plan, you have a box curriculum, you have your schedule. So basically it's structured. However, it often takes more money and more time for planning the resources. This may work for parents who like the idea of structured learning. You basically want to homeschool, but you want it to look like traditional school. So I'm going to give you an example of a typical schedule using the school at home approach. Well, from about 8 to 9 a.m., the children may change their clothes, tidy the house, and then they'll have breakfast. From 9 to 10 a.m., they may do reading using spelling books, writing assignments, or free reading. About 10 to 10:30, they may go into math using a textbook or workbook. Around 10:30 or 11 a.m., you could do history on Monday and Wednesday using a textbook, science on Tuesdays using a textbook that includes occasional experiments, and geography could be like on Thursday or Friday, and you may use a workbook for that. Around 11 or 12 noon, you may do electives. Usually it's a foreign language or art course or any other elective that you want to add in. And as I'm reading this, I noticed that we actually do a lot of this, which is why I'm saying that we are eclectic homeschoolers, because we usually take a piece of this and a piece of that. Speaking of eclectic homeschooling, our next method is called the relaxed eclectic homeschooling method. It is a method that is used most often by homeschoolers. Basically, eclectic homeschoolers use a little bit of this and a little bit of that. They use workbooks or textbooks for math, reading, and spelling, and they usually take an unschooling approach for other subjects. We'll go more in depth with unschooling on next week. For the family who practices relaxed or eclectic homeschooling, the mornings are often used for the more formal lessons or the have-to work, and usually the afternoons are used for hobbies or other special projects. There is no specific time set up for each subject, but instead the child is expected to meet certain educational goals. For instance, I use bulleted points of what our goals are for each week, and I build my lessons on those goals or around those goals. If we don't cover all of them that week, then I just simply move them over to the next week, and we just cover them, and if it drags out for a couple weeks, we just make sure that we're where we need to be by the end of the school year. For help, the eclectic homeschooler can rely on regular classroom standards for their child's grade level. All you have to do is, after you find the grade level, you just look at the state standards for that particular level, and you can build your lessons around that. Eclectic homeschoolers may also use standardized tests to measure their child's progress. Now, the advantage of the eclectic method is that the parent feels that the important subjects are being covered thoroughly. This method also will allow the family to choose textbooks or field trips, classes that fit their needs and interests. So what does a typical relaxed eclectic homeschooling schedule look like? Well, it can vary, but I'll give you an example. For example, reading may be something that is taught early in the morning, and what you can do is read one chapter of a book, preferably classical books. For example, Phantom of the Opera, The Three Musketeers. You may read a chapter a day from those books. If your child is too young to read, you may read those chapters to them. Writing. Eclectic families usually center their writings around journals or essays and letters to friends and sometimes occasional reports. Some families also participate in Young Writers Club. In math, each child will have the math materials that best suits their learning style. For example, one child may use a math software for their lessons. One child may use math manipulatives like rods or shapes and counters. And another child could use a math textbook or a workbook. The parent would then evaluate the child's retention by periodically making up a sheet of problems that will review all the math concepts that they have learned. For example, I do time drills basically on the facts. We also do mental math problems, and this is a way for me to go back and to make sure that they are retaining the information and they're also learning math facts at the same time. Okay, science would be another subject that would be taught in the eclectic and the relaxed homeschool method. The emphasis on hands-on experiments, which the family does at home, or they could even do it through a community science class. History and geography, the family would most likely use workbooks, software, educational games, and historical fiction. Some families make up timelines or history notebooks like those that you would use in the classical and Charlotte Mason approaches. Classical and Charlotte Mason approach will also be something that I will be covering next week and the week after. Afternoons are generally dedicated to special interests. Afternoons are generally spent doing special projects, pursuing hobbies, and participating in community classes and teams like soccer, gymnastics, Boy Scouts, and 4-H. Last but not least, let's discuss Montessori. This is my favorite method to use for toddler school, preschool, or kindergarten. This method was founded by Maria Montessori, an Italian physician and educator. Her life is very fascinating. Do some research on her. You will be amazed by her story. According to the Montessori philosophy, children should be allowed as much unscheduled time as possible in order for them to learn to manage their own time. Children are also encouraged to select their own learning materials and to learn at their own pace, believing that children will be drawn to what they need. This could mean dividing your materials into pretend play, which would use brooms, a play kitchen, or dress up. You may divide your learning area into musical instruments, art, language, math areas, sensory items for touching, smelling, and tasting. You would provide these learning toys or items, and your child would play with them as they are interested. What I've discovered along the way is that I don't like to do anything too formal in the early years. Being too structured at an early age could make them lose their love for learning. Now, they may be able to read at 3, and they could count to 100 at 4, but do they love learning, or are they just learning by force? One of the most important things that I want to build is a love for learning. You don't get excited and push yourself to do things that you hate or that you're forced to do, but you are inspired by the things that you love, and it causes you to crave more and to want more. This is how I want my kids to feel about education. Of course, they won't always love it. I mean, right now, they're not loving multiplication or cursive. But learning about new things doesn't have to be forced. I find my kids on Google, they're reading about the new president, the latest computer program, tornadoes, or just looking up information in general. They are learning and enjoying learning about the things that interest them. That's education. Learning about interest at your own pace, unscheduled. Exploring the things that interest you, not what is on a lesson plan. This is the basis of Montessori. A few months ago, I posted a picture of my 4-year-old, and that day he didn't want to practice his letter writing, which was on my to-do list, but he decided that he wanted to ride around on his fire truck instead. Well, what do you do? Well, you could just let him ride around and write tomorrow, or you can just take the time to ask, what color is the fire truck? You can also look up different pictures on fire trucks or listen to some sirens. You could have them color a picture of a fire truck. You could tell them that F is for fire truck and repeat the sound. It seems so simple, doesn't it? Because it really is. Because learning is always happening. But how do you divide your home into a Montessori style or Montessori areas? Well, you would find a practical life area, which would promote activities like pouring, spooning, food preparation, and they all use child-sized instruments like child-sized buckets, brooms, and mops. You could have a sensory area, which includes wooden blocks that would teach size and sense of smelling, colored tablets for learning about colors. You may have a math area, which includes hands-on materials like number rods, sandpaper numbers, colored beads for counting. You could have a language area, which includes sandpaper numbers, a movable alphabet, books and phonics materials. You could have a cultural area for history and geography, which includes globes, map puzzles, timelines, books and pictures about different cultures, and the Montessori Peace Curriculum. It's a course on conflict resolution for children. You could have a music area, which would include bells, a variety of rhythm and other instruments. An art area, which includes drawing materials, prints from a variety of different artists, including the masters, and craft and sewing supplies. These items are placed in areas that will be easily accessible to the child, and they play or explore the area as they are drawn or find an interest. So we have covered the school-at-home approach, the eclectic, relaxed homeschooling approach, and the Montessori method. Which one of these do you feel fits your homeschool idea or vision? I have a few more to cover on next time, so get ready for those. For more information, you can visit www.homeschool.com, and you can also browse my website for pictures or posts related to our school in action. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I will be discussing one of my most frequently asked questions, how to respond to negative comments regarding homeschooling. Now, this can come from friends, from family, from strangers. I'm going to give you some advice and a little homeschool power over the negativity when we come back. Leading us into our break, I'm going to play a great song for you by Camilla Burrow titled Believe in Yourself. I'm going to give you a little encouragement that no matter what people say, no matter what the negative comments may be, I want you just to believe in yourself. And this song was recorded at Sound Resort Studios in Atlanta, Georgia. So we have Camilla Burrow, Believe in Yourself.
The power. believe in yourself.
Welcome back. This is Homeschool Power with Tracy Kelly. We have been discussing homeschooling methods, and now we are talking about negative comments or mindsets as it relates to homeschooling. Now, if you have chosen to homeschool, or you're even considering homeschool, you will encounter a negative comment at some point in your journey. You want to know how to go about this. How do you respond to those comments? First of all, you must develop thick skin as it relates to homeschooling. Because you are doing something that is considered out of the norm, people simply just don't understand, or they're just believing the myths out there that you're doing something that is weird or is not normal. So you must learn to just develop thick skin and kind of ignore some of the comments. You have to also know why you are doing this. Why are you homeschooling? My advice is to write down your reasons and refer back to it often. There will be days when you don't understand why you made this decision, when you want to put them on a school bus and send them down the road. You have to take out your paper and read your reasons why you are doing this, why you considered homeschooling them. This is very important. You can write it on a sticky. You can write it inside of your planner. You can just write it on a sheet of paper, but make it where it's easily accessible on the days when you need it most. Next, I would advise you to be confident in your decision. There are going to be times when people are breaking you down, when you don't understand why you're doing it, and you don't have anyone to turn to. Everyone's telling you, just send them to school. You know, do you have the qualifications to do it? Are you a teacher? You have to know that you have the ability to do this, and you have to be confident in your ability. My most important advice is to educate others, and that's why I'm doing this right now. Many people are just misinformed about homeschooling, or they're just uneducated when it comes to homeschooling. They truly believe all of the myths out there, and this is why normalizing homeschooling is so important. We must show others that homeschooling is normal, that it's just another school choice. So this is very important, sharing your journey, sharing your stories, sharing pictures so that people have a good view of homeschooling. Okay, next, we would like to offer facts and statistics to those who truly don't understand. They may think that they won't be able to make it to college. They won't be able to make it through college. And how can they make it in the real world when they haven't been exposed to a group of children, to public school? So we want to offer them facts and statistics showing them how well homeschoolers do after they graduate and they start attending colleges or universities and in the real world. Most of all, if all of those things don't work, just let your results speak for themselves. You will have some great results. You will see some fantastic benefits. And that's all you have to do is let those things speak for themselves. So in short, when I am asked or I am faced with some negative views or comments, I like to simply answer, "Thank you for being concerned. However, this is what we have decided to do, and this is working for our family right now, and we are really enjoying this journey. We are enjoying homeschooling, and it's the end of conversation." Because when it comes down to it, this is your journey. This is not anyone else's journey. You have decided to take your child's education into your hands, so the responsibility falls on you. So it is not really anyone else's concern. We have to remain open-minded when it comes to education, when it comes to school choice. Look at it this way. How sad would it be if decades or even centuries ago, the only way that we were open to learn to read was just simply from a physical book? We didn't have any other resources that we could read from. What if the only way that we were open to communicate was only through the rotary phone? What if we could only use a typewriter, or we only had an open mind for a typewriter to write letters or send written communication? The truth is, times change and things advance. We have to remain open-minded to changes and choices. There will be some dynamic people coming from public schools, from private schools, charter schools. But guess what? there will be some dynamic people coming from homeschools as well. And all of them together will help change this world. Well, that is the end of our show for this evening. Thank you so much for joining me. I always look forward to spending my Monday with you and discussing one of my favorite topics. And if you couldn't tell by now, that is homeschooling. And I hope that I'm providing you with the information that you need to help you on this journey. Do you feel a little bit less anxious, a little bit more powerful? Well, I certainly hope so, because my friend, that is my goal and that is my mission. Don't forget to follow me on all social media platforms. I've made it a little easier for you by putting all of my links on my blog. Just click and follow. I hope you have a great week, and don't forget to make every day beautiful. And always remember, homeschooling is not a sprint, it's a marathon. There will be days when it will be difficult to see the finish line, but keep going and never forget to enjoy the scenery along the way. I'm going to have you memorizing that before it's all said and done. Sending you a big homeschooling fist bump, and we will see you next week. Bye.